Township of McKeller regular meeting of council for March 17, 2026 in order. Start with roll call.
Counselor Morley Hoskin.
Counselor Debbie Zulak.
Counselor Mike Heckman.
Clerk Administrator Carly Britton.
Deputy Clerk Mary Smith.
Mayor David Moore. Any declarations of pecuniary and a personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. We have resolution 26-101, moved by Counselor Kekkonen, second by Counselor Hoskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKeller does hereby approve the agenda for this regular meeting of council as presented. Any discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. Moving on to 11.1, we have resolution 26-102, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKeller does hereby accept the deputation from Becky Pollock and Nicole Guzik, is it? From the Georgian Bay Biosphere for information purposes. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Do they need another mic here?
Okay. Thank you, Mayor and Council. Okay. I appreciate your support with the presentation tonight. Thank you very much for having us here.
And we appreciate that you came in person.
Absolutely. We wouldn't dream of it unless there was a blizzard.
Right.
This is one of our favorite places to come, and I know Nicole will speak in a minute about her experience this week here at the library for March break. A wonderful program was held. And as you can see on the slide here, we wanted to celebrate McKeller because some of the community outreach that we've been doing here has just overwhelmed our numbers. So my name is Becky Pollock. I'm the Executive Director of the Georgian Bay Mininogamy Biosphere. We're a not-for-profit charity established in 1998, and we've been working in partnership with McKeller for many years. In fact, we serve 7 area municipalities, 6 area First Nations, and work with dozens of partners. And tonight, I'm here to follow up on a conversation that was held with staff, Carly Britton, as we explored the opportunity for all area municipalities to become new partners of our children's program called Kids in the Biosphere. And I'd like to just summarize a little bit more about our context. McKeller might think, oh, we're not in the Georgian Bay Biosphere boundaries, but that's not the way we see it. We're part of a larger region where everyone who is affiliated with the Georgian Bay Biosphere's work or connected through the lakes and watersheds into Georgian Bay are all part of that biosphere region. So that's important to us. And we are part of a global network of over 700 sites. We have 19 biospheres in Canada, and actually we're one of 4 in Ontario. So I'll leave you to guess which ones those are. What makes us special is that we truly are unique on the planet. This region is unique for its ecology. We share 60 species at risk. This is a very high number. And we have the world's largest archipelago, so the 30,000 islands. That's what makes us so special for the international scientific community. But really, we're not just about nature. We're not a park. We're about balancing people and nature. And that's where our activities come in. Next slide. So our organization, we are, yes, responsible for maintaining that UNESCO designation. So thanks for your letter of support every 10 years. We are this nonprofit charity, which is why we're seeking partnerships for our programs tonight. We focus on both conservation and community so that we can build together a more sustainable region. Next slide. The Kids in the Biosphere is an exciting program for us because I wanted to share that it launched way back in 2013 because our successful Kids in the Classroom program, our board of directors said to me, well, if we're doing all this work with kids in the classroom, what are we doing for summer kids? And I said, oh, we can adapt that. We can get it out there through a partnership that started with the Township of the Archipelago. And so what happened was they subsidized those costs for the programming, the materials, and our time to deliver their program to 12 ratepayer associations. And while we try to reach these 200 plus kids and all their families and their communities, we can realistically only visit three of those ratepayer associations on a rotational schedule, three or four each summer. But now we've been working with volunteers and libraries and even sponsors like the Hunters and Anglers or the Island Queen to help really invest in the program and expand it. So during COVID, we were able to donate 100 of these activity kits to Harvest Share during COVID. So it is a program that we want all children to receive. But until now, it's only really been available through the Township of the Archipelago's ratepayer families. We don't want that anymore. We want to offer it to the whole region, from Britt to Honey Harbor and out to McKellar. Next slide, please. Oh, there it is. Thank you. So what I wanted to just say before I turn it over to Nicole is this is the opportunity Carly and I discussed, which is around a pilot year with McKellar helping us to expand the Kids in the Biosphere program this summer. And we want to think about reaching more youth, and not just in the summer, but year-round, because we're going to be doing March break, PD days, and other special events like the turtle release party that you held last summer. We would love to do that again. But we're in a position with losing our federal and provincial funding that we can't really make ends meet in terms of covering all costs. So to break even on this program, we're going to be meeting you first, you got in line first, but every other township that's expressed interest, and we'll be going to Carling and Seguin next. So on that note, what is the program? Here we go, Nicole. This is what's in the kit.
Hi, yes, once again, my name is Nicole Kuzik. I'm the education advisor at the Georgian Bay Biosphere, and I'm also one of the lead people on the ground for all the Kids in the Biosphere events and all behind the scenes as well. One of the biggest parts of Kids in the Biosphere is, yes, the Kids in the Biosphere kit, and this comes with a whole bunch of really fun things in there for the kids. This includes the Kids in the Biosphere booklet. This has tons and tons of activities that the kids can do on their own as they're a little bit older, or parents, grandparents, whoever can go with them and do all the different kinds of fun activities in here as well. There is some identification guides in here, coloring, nature journaling, all kinds of cool activities, and this changes every few years as well as we update it.
Thanks.
Inside the kit as well, comes with every single year we change this just to make it new and exciting every year, and for all of those who may get the different things that are in there. For this year's kit, for example, this is a little owl pellet dissection kit. So the kids get to learn a little bit about what owls eat, and actually see a real life owl pellet that they can dissect with some tweezers, and they can see all the bones of a mouse or a vole that might be in there, which is super exciting. That's kind of the fun part of this year's kit. They also all get a journal as well, a nature notebook. They can use this for whatever they want. We try to encourage them to use this to go out and just write down everything that they find, make it their own little journal, and hopefully they can keep up with this and have this for quite some time. They'll also get things like this year, we focused a lot on birds, so they get their very own bird identification booklet as well. There's also some stickers, if you have those, and cookies.
Stickers, activities.
Oh, beautiful stickers.
This year we have gotten these from an Indigenous artist as well, and they include Anishinaabe Mullen on here as well, just to kind of get the kids involved in that too, as well as their very own wildflower seeds. And then, to go along with it, there's printed guides for all these activities, all the stuff that we put in here. We have spent quite a bit of time putting all of these really fun activities together that they can follow. So it's kind of a more extended version of what they're going to get out of this booklet, because they have some fun materials to use to go along with them.
And Nicole, if I could just add, one of the most common questions we get is about the age range. And so we would recommend, or our educators would recommend, probably ages 6 to 12. But that doesn't limit it to younger kids participating in the events, and certainly our family programs that go with this, or older kids as well. We've had teenagers involved, so it's useful to know. Thanks, Nicole. So yeah, lots of new themes every year. Next slide.
Yeah, and so how a lot of the family event side of things are going to look, as Becky mentioned, we're really trying to focus more and extending to March break, PD days, even weekends as well. All of these events that we're going to do, usually from season to season, we're going to have maybe a set different amount of types of activities that we'll be offering to maybe libraries, communities, whoever it is. And they're all going to have different themes associated with these events, so it could be turtles. Today, actually, I'm in McKellar Library today, we did animal tracks and signs. That was a big hit. We've done winter wildlife, I'll be doing tomorrow. We have this other program called Critters with a Bad Rap. So there's tons of different things, and I usually leave it up to the group that we're partnering with on what exactly they have an interest in us doing.
Mm-hmm.
These could also be things like bio blitzes, where we go outside and the kids are going and helping us collect information on all the wonderful biodiversity that we have here in the region. And we may also do this in the version of interactive booths at events as well.
Mm-hmm. Like your market. Next slide. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Do you want to do the first one?
Sure. Yeah. So this is just a really great feedback we received as well about our programs. And I'll just go ahead and read this. It says, I wanted to say thank you once again for these activities. They naturally add learning in a gentle way. Everyone comes away with a deeper appreciation of nature. The iNaturalist app was especially engaging for our 9-year-old. On his iPod, he made over 20 contributions to the Georgia Bay Biosphere Project. That experience is meeting him right where he's at. And for those who don't know, the iNaturalist app is a way for anybody of any ability to make biodiversity observations to real-life science.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Nicole. Next slide.
Okay, and then to add to this, on top of what I've mentioned so far, there's also the free resources for anybody who wants to be involved. So on our website, we also have even more activity sheets that we, again, update and vary year to year that anybody can download and print. These are available to parents. Even teachers love these as well. We also have our kids' nature blog on there as well. This is mostly updated throughout the summer. We also encourage kids to email and submit their nature sightings or anything cool they want to share with us to our kids at georgiabiosphere.com. Email just to keep up that engagement, and then again, anyone can find out what we have going on in all of the municipalities through georgiabiosphere.com/events.
Thanks. Wonderful. I'll just continue here and say that because it's been running for 13 years, the participants are surveyed if they want at the end of the year to give us feedback and to improve the program, and we would do that as well with you, sort of with the participants. And so one of these grandparents and parents as well said, every year we look forward to this offering and count ourselves as keepers of the biosphere. The kids take this responsibility to heart. They will tell people they see littering to pick up after themselves or give an earful about their beloved creatures to anyone who will listen to them. You've shaped their life experience so much. What we're finding is through our work in the schools, through our work with children year-round, we're seeing youth grow up and start to apply for jobs at the biosphere, go on to college for biodiversity and biology programs, and give back to their communities. We're really proud of that, that there are graduates from these communities that are coming to work at the biosphere and in the communities. So we feel that the Kids in the Biosphere program is a stepping stone for that. Next slide. So what would be our municipal assistance request? This is something for Council and Environment Committee's consideration, but in speaking with staff, we did think that possibly a municipal assistance application this year would be a good fit. Up to $1,500 to support 30 families participating in McKellar. So they would have to have a McKellar postal code as ratepayers, and it would subsidize the costs of the program up to about $50 a family, which actually goes a long way to cover the material costs, their own family's registration, our staff time and travel, and the special events that we set up and promote. And so with that, they would get, every family registering would get a kit for the family and individual things for kids. The booklet would be in there as well, and then there'd be community events that we would want to continue to connect with them about. So we did think, in speaking with your head librarian as well, that about 30 families was a good pilot year. And with that said, there would be a wait list, because we also have a limit on our resources, especially if we're expanding it to 600 families. So let's think about that as a request. But how would it actually work for the pilot year? We see us confirming the partnership quite soon, if you're interested, because we have to get these kits ready. We would want to promote registration throughout your region, and we could do that in partnership with the library and township council. Again, as I said, first come, first serve, up to those 30 families that sign up. But we think that with all the other free resources and the community events, that it will probably, the program will be spread around quite a bit. They are just one per family, as I mentioned, that you can come and pick them up at the municipal office, and then the events will be determined this summer quite soon. At the end of the summer, families would get a survey about their program and their experience, what we could do to improve, an opportunity to make a donation if they wanted, and then you would receive a full report, a written report on the results and on our plans for the future, including a cost model for the region, so we could see how that breaks down. We are seeking support from service clubs like Rotary. We're going to local businesses again. We just had an email from Maple Leaf Marinas, 10 marinas they would like to sponsor. So this is all new for the year, so bear with us while we get the pilot off the ground. And that's all I think we had for tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're here to take any questions if there are any.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Any questions from council? Look at that gift bag, and I keep thinking of Friendly Giant and the Tickle Trunk, and it almost seemed bottomless there, but I know I'm dating myself. Councilor Keckman?
So it mentions here, it sounds like a great program. It mentions that with support from an Ontario Trillium Foundation grant, so have you received a foundation grant?
Excellent question. We wanted to touch on that, which is that we've received the grant starting in October, and it allowed us to hire Nicole on a full-time basis. This funding is for 2 years, and the expectation is that by the end of the 2 years, they will phase out their support so that it can be fully financially sustainable at the new level of regional program. So that's why we've partnered with 12 libraries and hopefully all 7 councils and so forth. So we are going to supplement any contributions this year with the $1 trillion, and then we're going to come back to you with a financial model that shows how it would work in perpetuity, we hope. We really have high hopes that that would happen after 2028. Yeah. 7, 8. Yeah.
Okay. So this pilot program we're paying, the suggestion is $1,500 for this year and most likely next year, and then possibly a similar or a bit of a different.
We will know. We're hoping that can come down, but then if it comes up and we have to share those costs, we would present them to you for your decision. It would be on a year-by-year basis, and you'd have to see good results and good community involvement. Of course, it has to be beneficial. So this year, what we've done is we've estimated those costs at $50 a family, and that will help us cover the shortfall and expand the program the way we need to. Because in a pilot year, when it goes from being just for the Township of the Archipelago to the whole region, we need all that much more time to communicate it really well, and then we want to double the amount of events. So I wish I could have that financial model for you for the program, but it would be probably on an annual basis. And I understand that there might be some additional funding from other sponsors, like TD Friends of the Environment might be interested. There's some library grants that we can also apply with them for. So our biggest hope is that we could have a little bit of partnership seed funding from every township.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Good. Any other comments from council? Yes.
I just spoke to Lynn in the library a couple days ago, and she said that there is already a kit in the library, and it's very well used. So a lot of the McKellar ratepayers are coming to take out the kit, and it's grandparents, parents, people visiting a cottage, so it's well used here.
Is that the Biosphere backpack
yes.
that you can sign in? Okay,
yes.
So slightly different, because the backpack's loaded with like binoculars and things,
okay.
But maybe we could find a way to stock another one.
Yeah, that one, for example, is based on a theme, which is birds. So they got binoculars in there, and they got their very own backpack they can carry around and some other things. So it's similar in a sense, but with a specific theme, whereas this one's kind of got all kinds of goodies that they can keep for themselves.
Yeah, but that's a great point. I'm glad it's being used.
Yeah.
Well, I think that turnout for the turtle release, I mean, fantastic, really, the number of people who showed up.
Yeah.
And so if that's any indication of future interest in all of this, yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Okay. Do you need anything from us?
Well, I'm just wondering here, too, on our procedure, because I know we haven't finished our budget yet, but some projects we've already okayed prior to the budget being finalized. So I don't know whether we have a resolution to that effect for tonight. Since we're the first township that they've visited, it would set a good standard, I think, if we actually had a resolution for that donation. But it's up to council whether you want to entertain it at this point, as we did for the Chamber of Commerce, or whether you want to wait for another month.
No.
Councilor Haskell.
Yeah, I would say let's do a resolution tonight. It doesn't help to, as long as it's on the agenda sometime tonight, we can deal with it, unless we want to deal with it while they're here, whatever you
want.
Well,
I'm thinking Carly's writing it right now.
Okay.
So. Any other questions about the program?
Oh, it's great. It's a great program. Gets a lot of them out.
Yeah, I think that's the key point is get them outside and interacting with, you know, the amazing environment that we have. So
I'm really the one on the hands on the ground a lot, and it's truly just so much fun. I'm a perfect example of kind of where this goes. Like, I used to go to Kilbert Provincial Park all the time. Kenton Ivine was working there when I was just a child, and he inspired me to literally do what I'm doing today. And so I love being able to push that on to the kids, and even all the kids and all their smiling faces today, and hearing about all the animals that they know of around here. It's just really so special, and we do hope to be able to continue doing it as much as possible.
It's interesting. You mentioned the parks. I worked as a gatekeeper younger days for four different parks. And I remember those evenings too, with all the people would come to the one center and watch a video of some sort.
And you never forget that stuff.
Yeah. That was really good. So we have resolution 26-103, moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve $1,500 to support 25 to 30 McKellar families for the Kids in the Biosphere kit. Any further discussion? Councillor Peckney?
Just looking at the budget this year, we have allocated $5,000 for discretionary donations and donations to and grants to organizations of $4,000. So there is money that is available for this type of programming.
Excellent. And how would that be made out? They would talk to you about the actual who's made out to for the check?
We can apply formally if there's paperwork, or we can set up an agreement. We can invoice you anything that's convenient for you.
Okay, great. Call the question of council. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Thank you very, very much. I think the whole township will benefit immensely. We look forward to giving you our final report at the end of the season.
Excellent.
Thank you for the presentation.
That was really good.
Thank you.
On to item 14.1. Resolution 26-104, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Peckin. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the minutes of the March 3rd, 2026 regular meeting of Council as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? On the March the 11th, that'll be on the next meeting.
Yes.
Call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To item 15.1, resolution 26-105, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Haskam. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has no objections to the approval of consent application number B04/2026 McKellar, as applied for by Gerald and Mary Bell, subject to the following conditions. Number one, payment of a fee in lieu of parkland is required in the Township of McKellar fees and charges bylaw. Two, 911 addressing for the proposed new lots. 3. That 10 meters from the center line of Erdville Road for both the severed and retained lots be transferred to the Township of McKellar if found not to be in the Township's ownership. And 4. Payment of any applicable planning board fees. Now we have our Secretary Treasurer from the Planning Board here, Patrick Christen. We also have the applicant here. I don't know who wants to speak first. If any comments, maybe turn it over to Patrick just to explain the application.
Okay, good evening, Mayor, Council, and Harley, and the Bells as well. This application is, as you mentioned, by Gerald and Mary Bell on Herdville Road. The proposal is to create two new rural lots with frontage on Herdville Road and also a right-of-way for access to the back of the retained lands and also severed lot 2 specifically. The lots will have the minimum 60 meters of frontage on Herdville Road and more than the required area. There is a low area on the Herdville Road frontage of one of the severed lots, and that is why the right-of-way is proposed over what Mr. Bell referred to as the right-of-way strip that actually goes beside what I believe is the municipal stockpile. There's a strip of land that was left at the time that that lot was created. Mr. Bell let me know about that. And so that's where a proposed driveway would go from Herdville Road with a right-of-way over the severed one to severed lot two, and also for access to the back of the retained lands. Just going through other pages of my report here, there is a an abandoned sand pit that has no status as far as the Aggregate Resources Act is concerned. As I mentioned, the proposed right-of-way. Now, the proposed right-of-way at the road is a 10-meter frontage. And I know the council in the past has been insistent that a right-of-way be 20 meters wide. I do believe that this right-of-way was put in place for this purpose of access, and it would certainly be widened out as soon as it could on the applicant's lands. The official plan shows that this lot has some deer yard shown in it, and I mentioned in my report some things to do with a stratum 2 deer yard. I believe that because of the size of these lots and the depth as well, it should still be supported even though it is a part of a stratum 2. And as I mentioned in my report, it's not stratum 1, so it's not the core of a deer yard. And there's been many other lots created in the stratum 2 in this area. Moving on here, provincial planning statement supports obviously lot creation in rural areas of the municipality. The zoning of these lands is rural, and as I mentioned, the proposal meets the rural zone standards. And I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Now the applicant's here too. I don't know whether, Gerald, you wish to say anything, or is that covered? We got a microphone there for you.
Sorry. No, I think, is it on?
Yeah.
I think Patrick's done a good job. I explained it very thoroughly, so I go with his
okay, great.
Thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from the council? I have one. I don't know whether Patrick has an answer to it, but the zoning is proposed to be rural for these two lots as an extension of all the retained. The part that the township purchased, was that ever rezoned, or is that still rural as well for the supply area, as you said? I don't know whether Patrick has an answer to that one or not.
I do, Mr. Mayor. I believe in the zoning bylaw simply shows there's no change in designation. So I would say that the municipal land is also zoned rural.
Okay. My only concern on that, and I don't know where future councils are going, right now it is a stockpile, as you said. If there were to be a township building put there, could that still fit in the, I know I should be asking our own planner, but could that still fit in the rural zoning? It wouldn't have to be changed to commercial or industrial? I'm just thinking of compatible use if the township councils wanted to actually put a building up there as a substation, in a sense, to deliver in the east end of the township. That could still be done under rural, or would that have to be rezoned at that point?
That's a good question, Mr. Mayor. I would have to check into that one to check the uses in the rural zone, and see if that use with a building. I suppose that the as long as the use of I don't think the addition of a building would be changing the use necessarily. If a new use was to be proposed. We'd have to look at zoning at that time.
Yeah, I just didn't want a situation. I see this is for family members, which is great. Somebody else purchasing in the future, and then complaining about a township yard next door. I know we have it in a lot of places. We have residential next door to it, but I just wanted to avoid any future problems. But if it's all okay under rural, I don't see any problem. The you mentioned the entrance too. That is something that we pushed for. The reason being for the 20 meter is that many of these rights of way become private roads, not just driveways. And I see in this one, for instance, a retain could be developed as well. I'm not sure whether this applicant wants to develop that at this point. But I'm thinking down the road sort of thing as more people come in. And if that's extended, and you mentioned in your presentation that the 10 meters at the road would be acceptable, but then it branches into 20 meters, and I think the diagram shows that, as it goes through severed lot one into severed lot two. Or am I misreading the diagram?
No, that's correct, Mr. Mayor. The strip, as Mr. Bell indicated to me, was put there or left there for the access, and it's only 10 meters wide. So as soon as it could be branched out, perhaps it would be in the survey in order to give as much width as possible.
You mentioned too the site evaluation report, but from where I'm reading this, is not something that we would have the applicant undergo. It's not necessary at this particular point. You looked at the different requirements of the site evaluation report, and you seem to be satisfied that this report would just be extraneous, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it wouldn't be necessary in this one.
That is my opinion, Mr. Mayor. Yes. A lot of the things that I read in site evaluation reports are covered here because of the size of the lots and the shared driveway, I guess, is an asset in this case as well. I think a site evaluation report would be extraneous in this case, yes.
Okay, other comments from council? I'm looking at the one map. It's under zoning bylaw. It seems a little different. Maybe the applicant could answer this one for us. It seems to be another chunk already taken out, which is also rural. Was there another severance in there at some point? Or? Yeah, sorry.
I can try and answer that, Mr. Mayor. Is that a rectangle in the center of the lot?
Yes.
Okay, I believe that may have been a leftover from the pit zoning, and then when the pit was surrendered, the piece in the mapping stayed, and it's all under the same ownership. There's not a separate lot there. I think it's just basically a mapping remnant where the old M2 zone boundary remained, but it's zone rural.
Okay, appreciate that. That makes sense. Any other comments from the council? So we're satisfied with the conditions that covers everything that you need to see. I'll call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Thank you. Have a good evening, everyone.
Great. Thank you, Friday.
Thank you.
Great. So it's all been approved. If you wish to stay for the rest of the meeting, that's great.
Sure.
All right.
For a while, he's boring, I'll leave.
On to agenda item 16.1. I have resolution 26-106, moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the North Bay Prairie Sound District Health Unit Board of Health meeting minutes for January the 28th, 2026, for information purposes. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Lump all these together, so 16.2, resolution 26-107, moved by Councillor Hassman, second by Councillor Zulak. We resolve the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the North Bay Ferry Sound District Health Unit Finance and Property Committee of the Board of Health meeting minutes for January the 28th, 2026 for information purposes. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. To 16.3, resolution 26-108, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the District of Ferry Sound Social Services Administration Board meeting minutes January the 8th, 2026 for information purposes. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 16.4, resolution 26-109, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Hassan. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the District of Ferry Sound Social Services Administration Board Chief Administrative Officer Report for January 2026 for information purposes. Any discussion of that report? Councillor Kekkonen?
Just a quick comment that I'm always amazed how comprehensive and extensive the work that DSAB does. You know, it's just unbelievable, you know, and the amount of employees and everything that are working together and providing, you know, a very important service to social service to our communities. It's every time I'm always amazed, you know, looking at all the data and facts, and my eyes open wider each time. So that's the only comment.
Okay. Any other comments? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 16.5, resolution 26-110, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Hassman. Resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the District of Ferry Sound Social Services Administration Board Chief Administrative Officer Report for February 2026 for information purposes. Any discussion of that report? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 16.6, resolution 26-111, moved by Councillor Hassman, second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the Tom Ferry Sound Emergency Medical Services Committee meeting minutes for February 26, 2026, for information purposes. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 16.7, resolution 26-112, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Hassan. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the Township of McKellar Historical Committee meeting minutes, February the 4th, 2026, for information purposes. Any discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 16.8, resolution 26-113, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Hassan. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the Township of McKellar Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee meeting minutes for January 15th, 2026, for information purposes. Any discussion of those minutes? All the questions, all in favor? Not opposed? Carried. To 16.9, resolution 26-114, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Hassan. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the Ferry Sound Area Planning Board meeting minutes for January the 16th, 2026 for information purposes. Any discussion of those minutes? Councillor Kekkonen?
Just one comment under that the Ferry Sound Area Planning Board approves the 2026 meeting schedule. Normally there would be the dates. Were the dates approved?
They were, yes, and I think a couple of them have been amended since, and I think they'll be coming up at the next meeting.
Okay.
Because one was falling on election day.
Okay.
And I don't know whether Councillor Haskin got his changed or not. He wanted it on Christmas, but we couldn't accommodate that, so it's the 21st of December. But that will be, yeah, you'd think it'd be attached, or at least it would be there in the minutes, but I think he's still amending them.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 17.1, resolution 26-115, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the FD-2026-02 month-end status report for January and February 2026 from Fire Chief Robert Morrison for information purposes. Discussion? Councilor Keckin?
Once again, always appreciate the work of the firefighters and the dedication. There's four candidates going for certifications and classes are held every third weekend and are a full Saturday and Sunday, so they're dedicating quite a bit of time to their certification. One concern is on the last page, last paragraph, where there's an indication that that the fire, McKellar Fire, is undergoing a rebranding of its patches and identifiers. This was felt to be a timely objective given the township's rebranding at the same time. Has someone indicated to the fire chief that we have approved rebranding of the township logo?
No, my apologies, I didn't catch that. The survey is going to be closing March 31st, and any letters brought forward or to the township will also be included in the April 7th meeting so that council can see the results of what the community has said, and then they can make a decision whether they want to continue with the rebranding or keep the logo how it is.
Can we advise the fire chief that the township is not rebranding, and or that the township has not made a decision, and that as well, as a counselor, I wouldn't support any dollars spent on rebranding something with the fire department. Maybe if he brings that to the township as, something that he's proposing, because I've heard numerous feedback from residents who don't want a dollar spent on things that are not needs. They don't mind supporting things for any department that are needs, but not something that is not a justified spending of township money. This is going to be a tight year, just with the price of fuel going up and the impact that's going to have on our budget. And as such, most likely we're going to have to revise the budget numbers that we've already seen in the draft due to the rising fuel costs, because that impacts the price of everything, and particularly any asphalt products that for any roads that we're going to be doing this year. So I think the budget's going to be very tight, and this is not a year where the citizens want to see money that cannot be justified spent on projects. But I do think that the residents would maybe look at, instead of the departments spending money on different projects, that maybe the departments look at cutting 5% off of all of their budgets. You know, if you cut off, if you can cut and save $40,000, that would be a 1% decrease for our tax levy to our citizens. I think 100% of the citizens would be supportive of a project like that. So as for the rebranding of the fire department, I think that would have to be something that we would have to see in the budget, and because there's no dollar amount here either. So once again, you know, how much are the taxpayers' hard-earned dollars do they want spent on something that they do not feel is a need? So just my opinion.
Okay, so what I'm taking from that is that you want a report from the fire chief explaining maybe what our present logo is and why he thinks the change is necessary and that it be council approved rather than the fire department just going ahead with it. Is that what I'm hearing from council as well?
Is that what you're saying?
I think that makes sense. Or, like, you know, during budget discussions, where it's showing up on the line items, because if there is, you know, this kind of excess money in the budgets, well, then maybe we need to trim the budgets a little bit. So I don't know how to approach it, but I think that somehow it needs some type of approval to spend any money on something that is questionable if it's even justified.
Councilor Zulak?
So the fire department already submitted their budget, right? So was that included in there? Do you know, Carly?
So rebranding doesn't really cost a lot of money. A lot of these logos are made through AI. The fire department would be spending money anyway in stickers, putting them on the SCBAs and the tanks. Just when they are on a call, they need to differentiate between McKellar, Carling, mm-hmm. because we all have the same tanks now. So it isn't any additional funds being spent. More or less, they're just changing a sticker. The fire chief didn't say anything about changing trucks or their lapels. That would all stay the same. It would just be a sticker on the SCBAs at this time.
So maybe in his next at our next meeting, he could make a list of what he feels needs to be changed if he's going to go ahead with this, right? And what the cost would be. Then we could look at it.
Yeah, sounds good.
Councilor Kekner? It actually does mention that the transition to the new crest will take place over the next year, starting with the marking of equipment such as new SCBAs first, and eventually new patching for future uniforms and rebranding of apparatus in the future.
So you want cease and desist right now, and then wait for a report?
Well,
Councilor Zula?
Oh, I would like to see something in our next meeting before he goes ahead and does anything. Because this is like news to us, right? Just
that's
seeing
April
this on here.
7th.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think that would bother him too much. It's only a few weeks.
I'll just have to check his availability for a report for the next council meeting, but we can get one
something
from when he's ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as the other cutting of 40% or whatever, you're saying that that's budget discussions, I think, coming up. So, and I believe we're having it. I don't think it's been finalized yet, but the end of this month or beginning of April, so that'll be a discussion there. And of course, I assume that you want to start cutting then with councillor remuneration?
I thought right across the board.
Okay.
Well, I thought we were going to do that the last time, but
no,
it never happened.
Right. So we'll have to start with the standard, yes. Any other discussion of the fire department report? Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed, carried. To 17.2, resolution 26-116, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the accounts payable preliminary check run report of February 2026 from Treasurer Roshan Kentia for information purposes. Discussion. Councilor Kekkonen?
So looking at page 3 of 19, materials and supplies, pit signs, so is that part of the requirements for the registration or catching up on the...
Correct. And it'll be installed once the snow goes.
And then the cost of the household hazardous waste October to December, and this is on page 4, is that a set rate per month, or is it based on quantities?
It's based on the number of McKellar ratepayers that visit the transfer station in Fairy Sound.
So October to December, $3,869. So approximately $1,289 a month. Those are pretty slow months, so that seems quite steep for per visit then, I guess.
It does fluctuate, so they take the number of McKellar residents that have visited and then they divide the bill accordingly, so the bill could be higher one month because of what's brought in and then separated. So you're not charged, like, there's different prices between different items of hazardous waste, so we're all clumped in together. It's not, you know, these many paints, cans of paint came from a Keller. It's so.
Oh, it's okay. Right, it's divided equally among the
Yeah, if that makes sense.
Right, right.
But we're only paying for the number of people that deposit there.
So I think if anything, we could educate the public maybe once again that each visit, that's what they base it on, so that they don't want to run in there with a can of paint each time, but they can take 10 in at once,
mm-hmm.
makes sense. Maybe they don't realize how we're being billed.
And
Councilor Zulak?
And when you do go, they ask you where you're from.
Right.
They never want any identification or anything, but they always say, where, what township are you from?
So we know somebody who's been there, I guess.
Yes, I have been there with quite a few cans of paint.
Oh, okay.
At one trip.
Councilor Keck.
So page 12, sort of general, and it talks about Central Square annual contract renewal 2026, $7,548. Is that for digital financial transactions?
Yes.
So there is a cost to the digital transactions for the municipality?
Well, Central Square deals with other things as well for taxes, am I right?
Yeah.
Like with our assist program, we might put a ticket into Central Square if we're having problems with that software, if that makes sense.
So assist, that's the finance. So they're, so they provide IT for the software program, or?
They troubleshoot somehow. Like, it's not assist that would be assisting us. It would be Central Square.
Okay.
Assist
Thank
is
you.
The program, but yes.
Right.
Central
okay.
Square is what they're called.
Just one question. On page 8 of 19, 1548 on fire protection services, I vaguely remember, did we talk to the fire chief about this before, or about the subscriptions, and what he was going to look into it.
So
11:10. Is that right, or I thought
no,
we
so
did. I thought we spoke to, asked him about that. He was going to see whether he needed it or not.
No, this is FD online, so this is how he does payroll.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
In page 2, I'm just interested in the figure at the top. For Starlink, is it just Starlink, or is that everything? Because usually it's 6-something.
Starlink has dramatically increased.
Oh, yeah. So I wondered. I know it's been working well for us, and we can't abandon it, but we're paying a premium for it.
What was it?
6-something.
Yeah,
and it keeps creeping up. We can still investigate via net. Explore was at the Public Works Garage, and they just offed us as a customer. And other people in the area too, and we've had really good service with VNet over there. I don't know if that's something council wants us to investigate again, having VNet here until we can wait for the fiber line to come through.
Well, that's the thing, when the fiber comes through, I mean, that's certainly a consideration. That, I don't know what that'll cost either, but.
Yeah, I'm sure it won't be as much as Starlink.
No, it shouldn't be. Zulak?
The only thing that, if I can remember correctly, we're going with Starlink, it was always so that we wouldn't be out. Because if we were out and we went down during meeting, we had to cancel the meeting.
Right.
So that was always a positive. Because it was expensive to begin with.
Yeah, because we got the business package or something.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, we have the commercial package, not the residential.
Yeah.
And then with global tensions, it has
yeah.
increased.
One more question on page 8, Bob. Now it says bylaw enforcement annual levy, so it's broken down. That seems a little higher than the usual 1600 and something. Is there something else in that one, or is that increased too?
No, I would have to check. So she would have more hourly billable hours for
okay.
January. Council does have access to the activity report.
Right, no, that makes sense if you're saying more billable hours. a question of the figures? Call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 19.1, resolution 26-117, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskell. Whereas municipal public works employees and contracted service providers are responsible for maintaining critical infrastructure, including roads, sidewalks, bridges, drainage systems, and winter maintenance operations that are essential to public safety and emergency response. And whereas during significant weather events and emergencies, these workers act as frontline responders, ensuring routes remain open for ambulances, fire services, police, school transportation, and the traveling public. And whereas municipalities across Ontario are reporting an increase in harassment, threats, intimidation, and dangerous interference from members of the public directed at municipal workers and subcontractors while they perform their duties. And whereas these behaviors have included verbal abuse, threats of violence, obstruction of equipment, and actions that delay or disrupt winter maintenance and emergency response operations, placing workers and the broader public at risk. And whereas interference with municipal operations during storms and emergencies jeopardizes service levels, delays critical response times, and creates significant occupational health and safety risks. And whereas the Association of Ontario Road Supervisors, AORS, has formally called on the province of Ontario to strengthen legislative protections, enforcement support, and consequences for those who threaten or obstruct municipal public works staff and contractors. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Council of Township of McKellar, I guess, a certain municipality name here, so I imagine you'll do that.
Yes.
Supports the calls to action advanced by the Association of Ontario Road Supervisors to improve protections for municipal public works workers and subcontractors, and be it further resolved that the Province of Ontario be requested to introduce legislative and enforcement measures that, first of all, that recognize municipal public works workers and contractors as essential service providers during declared significant weather events and emergencies, deter and penalize interference, threats, harassment, or obstruction of municipal operations, and provide clear direction and support to police services to proactively respond to these incidents. And be it further resolved that a letter conveying council support for these measures be sent to the Honorable David Pacini, Minister of Labor, Immigration, Training, and Skills Development, the Honorable Rob Flack, Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing, the Honorable Doug Ford, Premier of Ontario, and that a copy of this resolution be forwarded to the Association of Ontario Road Supervisors and neighboring municipalities for their consideration. Discussion? Councillor Zulak?
I think it's very well, and it's time. I'm shocked when I read that. I shouldn't say I'm shocked because I know of things that have gone on ourselves, but the things that have happened to these people, you know, is unbelievable. And I think, too, if we do have a representative, if we do have a representative going to the Good Roads, that they should bring this this motion forward, if it's passed, to Mr. Ford or attend one of the ministers' meetings and bring that to their attention. It probably already it will be on somebody's agenda, but I think that we should make a point of doing that if he does go.
Okay. Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 19.2, resolution 26-118, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Whereas the Town of Parry Sound has approached the Township of McKellar seeking a municipal partnership to support the potential return of Science North STEM, STEM summer camps to the West Parry Sound area for the summer of 2026. And whereas Science North has advised that the incremental cost to operate the camps locally is approximately $10,000 per week, with the Town of Parry Sound working to secure 2 weeks of programming at a total cost of $20,000. And whereas participation data provided by Science North indicates that approximately 10% of camp registrants historically reside in the Township of McKellar, and a shared cost regional partnership model is being proposed to support the continuation of this program. Now therefore be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby support the return of the Science North STEM summer camps to the Westbury Sound region for the summer of 2026, and further that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar approves a contribution of $1,000 per week for up to 2 weeks to a maximum of $2,000 to support the delivery of the Science North STEM summer camps in partnership with the Town of Perry Sound and other regional partners, subject to confirmation that the camps will proceed in 2026. Discussion? Councilman Zulak.
I know that last year the library had the Science North come out and here for the 1 day, and it was a great success. It was a really great success. So, I don't think that would, if they do it again this year, I don't think that this camp would interfere with it at all. You know, it's just would promote it more.
Okay.
They said it was a wonderful, wonderful thing for the kids. They really enjoyed it and they had a good turnout.
Councilor Keck.
It seems like there's quite an interest in it. 100% occupancy and provides critical summer care and enrichment for local families. So it's not something that there's no interest in. It must be quite a, you know, stimulating presentation or camp that they provide for once again, anything that is promoting, you know, positive outcomes for the children in the area, I think is overall has returns on investment over the long run.
Okay, no, it sounds like a good variety. I just see different larger areas divesting themselves of contributions, and it's come down to municipalities to cover the costs of the programs. It seems to be what's happening with the ministries, Science North, I guess. And I'm just, my concern, I guess, because of what we've been into in the past, is a partnership.
Yeah.
I like the idea of a donation to the program as opposed to entering into a partnership. We haven't even seen the wording of that. How that would work, how it would read, what future contributions might amount to. The other thing, we'll take Science North's word for it, that 10% have come from McKellar. We have no evidence of that, but it's just the partnerships concerns me because we've been into those before, and then you run into situations where things change in the partnership by a majority vote, and you've lost your voice. Well, you can voice your opinion, I suppose, but I just like the idea of a donation instead. But Councilor Zula.
So can we not change the wording to a donation? Yeah.
I would think. We haven't seen any partnership
agreement. Yeah, no, that would be good. Change it to a donation.
Oh, I know you could. And the other thing that's always bothers me, I guess, and we're going more and more that way with people in the area, they're calling it regional.
Yeah.
And each time I see that word, I keep thinking it should be changed to area, and we try our best to do that. Regional becomes to the point where it just becomes amalgamation, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
You have the different regions in the south, and we've always said that we're separate. We're a single-tier municipality, and we talk about area partnerships or agreements, not regional. I don't know what council's thoughts are on that.
It does say that in the first paragraph that the return of Science North STEM summer camps to the Westbury Sound area for the summer of 2026.
Excellent. And then they jump into regional at the bottom.
Yeah.
Councilman Zula.
So can't we, we're on the second, and whereas participation data provided by Science North indicates approximately 10% of camp registrants historically reside in the township of McKellar, then that's it, and then go, now therefore be resolved the council, blah, 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 give a donation, just leave out the and shared cost regional partnership model. Couldn't we do that?
Carly's making changes as you speak. I don't know whether she's hearing everything you're saying.
Excellent.
That would be an amendment to the,
yeah.
I'll have to see how it reads.
And then, yeah.
It will pass.
Can we take this out too, though? Region, can we take this out here? Prairie Sound region for the summer. That's our spring summer camps. To the West Prairie Sound area. Take out region and put area.
It'd be a lot easier.
Okay.
Mike. Yeah, I'm like Mike, I support anything that's for the children of the area. I'm just kind of curious as to what to bring it back, why it left. Do we know that at all? And then of course this is only if they can manage to just make arrangements. I went on their website and there's no indication of Prairie Sound's potential location, so I guess Jamie Young's going to attempt to bring it back, and it probably will be a challenge because you need staff, you know, for this kind of thing. So good luck to her, because certainly in favor of having more stuff like that. It's a great activity. It helps the parents out if they got need some place for the children to go.
Now you're going to need a good memory here for the amendment. The third paragraph, the section at the very end, and a shared cost regional partnership model is being proposed to support the continuation of this program. That's deleted. And in the fourth paragraph, the word region has been replaced with the word area. And in the last paragraph, the word contribution changed to donation, and the third line, in partnership with the town of Prairie Sound and other regional partners, has been deleted. And I think that's the end of the amendments, and they're all related to the resolution. They're not really changing the purpose of the resolution. Councillor Zulai.
Should we not also, in the very first one, where it says, whereas the town of Prairie Sound has approached the township of McKellar seeking municipal partnership, take that out?
I wasn't concerned, that word partnership, yes.
So where did you put donation?
Right, just remove the municipal partnership and then to support.
To delete seeking a municipal partnership. So it's just in the first paragraph, township of McKellar to support. Any further discussion of the amendment? Call the question on the amendment. All those in favor? Not opposed? I'll call a question on the amended resolution, or the resolution as amended. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. On to 20.1, resolution 26-119, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the 2026 Good Roads Conference Program. And further, the Council does authorize Public Works Superintendent Thomas Stoneman to attend the Good Roads Conference 2026 from March 29th, 2026 to April the 1st, 2026, with all applicable expenses to be paid for by the Township. Discussion? Notes the one. concerns me a bit, I guess. I imagine it will go ahead, but on the agenda, it's on the Tuesday, March 31st, it's the seventh point, technical briefing seminar number 3, harmonization of road construction standards, and then they have the word tentative in there. Mm. And that was one of the reasons that he was going, I think, to because of that, because of what they're looking at. I don't know whether it's the 10 a.m. tentative or whether it's that actual item is tentative. It'd be nice to have that confirmed, but I suppose that'll be up to Tom. I wouldn't want a situation where he gets there and finds out that that's been taken off the agenda. I think that's really important, but the future construction requirements, it's almost going back to the old MTO model, that they'll come in and approve any assumed roads, or they'll set standards, certainly that you have to abide by, that would supersede the township standards for a road. And I would imagine they would be backed up by engineers, what they come up with. And there'd be a lot of discussion. Now, they're talking 2027 for implementation of this, so there'd be a lot of townships involved in this, certainly interested in it, because many of the roads probably wouldn't meet whatever standards they're setting. I don't think they have the intention of going back to seasonal road standards. I imagine they'll have a standard that would apply to all of the roads, which would really complicate matters in the township. Councilor Zula?
And it would be really costly, because us trying to do our roads now is costly. So can you imagine if we have to go up to the standards that they want, because they'll be to the nines? And would never be able, and there won't be any grants for it.
No, oh no. It would be for future roads, I would think. I don't think you'd have to bring the existing ones up to that, but if somebody wanted to bring up an unassumed road or a private road, then yeah, they'd be in place. So.
But would reconstructing roads that we have, like Center Road and stuff like that, would we have to bring it up to that their standard?
Yeah, and I think
that's a question.
In that sense, I think we're much further ahead than we were, because we have an engineer
on
board, and he knows what the standards are and
what the
construction companies are aware of and what the standard they build to. So I think that's to our advantage. Rather than having somebody come in later to inspect and find out deficiencies. I mean, he's there from the ground level.
Yes.
So. Any further questions on the conference? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 20.2. That resolution 26-120, moved by Councilor Keckin, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby support Leslie Harries Jones and Krista Holmes to be appointed as community representatives on the Westbury Sound OPP Detachment Board, and further that this resolution be circulated to the Westbury Sound municipalities and Henby Inlet First Nation for support. Is Henby an EY or just a Y? I think it's an EY. But
yeah, I think so.
I won't fill it in until I know.
I think it's an EY, that's what I'm
saying.
Okay. Discussion? Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. I heard the thump too.
Yeah.
On to 21.1, resolution 26-121, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskam. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2026-13, being a bylaw to amend bylaw 2025-43, the cemetery bylaw, to update Schedule C, tariff of rates, a first and second reading, and further give a third reading and pass an open council the 17th day of March 2026. Discussion? And maybe a little background. I'll put Carly on the spot here.
The tariff rate changes was brought down by the BAO, so it's not too much of a difference. It's only a single lot for a resident was 170, and now it's increased to 175, which affected the taxes and the total. So it's just a minor adjustment. We will have to change our fees and charges bylaw as well to reflect this new rate. If council wants to approve the cemetery bylaw amendment tonight, we can have the fees and charges on for the April 7th meeting. I don't think plots are being sold too much right now in this season, but I think it'd be fine to leave it, or if council wants to defer to see both this amendment to the cemetery bylaw and the fees and charges side by side and pass at the same time, then that's an option as well.
Councilor Cuckin?
So because this came down from the bereavement. So, but still, with all bylaw amendments, must be conspicuously posted on sign at the entrance of the cemetery, and delivered to each supplier of markers who has delivered a marker to the cemetery during the previous year, if the bylaw or bylaw amendment pertains to markers or their installation. So, it's not really applicable in that. So, it doesn't have to be delivered to the supplier of the markers, but conspicuously posted on a sign at the entrance of the cemetery. I was trying to find the current cemetery bylaw on the township website. I could not locate it, and I could not locate the notice bylaw because I wanted to determine what the notice requirements were for any changes to the cemetery bylaw.
That should be rectified.
So I think just as long as we conform to the requirements of a cemetery bylaw amendment when this process is going on.
Yeah, the thing that bothers me is the BAO has this authority at their, I guess it's not a whim, I'm sure they have reasons for doing this, but every time they make a change, we have to make a change. And we don't have any control over that, I guess, what we're going to charge. So it seems to be their control. And it's just unfortunate we passed it last year, and now we have to amend it already because they've come up with different figures. And as you say, it has a rippling effect because then we have to change our fees and charges bylaw as well to make them consistent. Councilor Zulay?
I myself would prefer just to do the first and second reading and then do the third reading when we have all the information and everything in front of us the next meeting. Is that what you said, Carly? The next meeting?
Another amendment? Okay. And I wonder too, it says Schedule C on the bylaw, it says appendix, so we want to straighten that out.
Signed at two different places. Was that current?
Maybe just one. I'm looking at the actual bylaw, I guess.
Yep, just one.
Okay, good. So the amendment is to change Schedule C to Appendix C and to delete the third reading. So we just go on first and second reading. Any further discussion on the amendment? Call a question on the amendment. All those in favor? Call on the resolution as amended, just for first and second reading. Call the question, all those in favor. None opposed. Carried. Into 21.2, resolution 26-122, moved by Councillor Cuckin and second by Councillor Haskell. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2026-15, being a bylaw to adopt an investment policy, a first and second reading, further give a third reading and pass an open council the 17th day of March 2026. Discussion? Councilor Cuckin?
That's exactly like the policy that I would thought would be suitable for McKellar Township. And I'm glad this is on the table. The whole purpose of the investment policy is to ensure that we're compliant legislatively. It's a requirement through legislation. And as well, it fosters openness, transparency, and trust with our taxpayers when they can see where their tax dollars are and when they're being invested. So, just my comments.
Okay, any further comments?
Yeah, I think it looks good. I think it covers it.
Wanted in the policy statement, now I know it's highlighted as a link to the actual regulation. The regulation actually goes further and prudent investment, although that wouldn't apply to us. That is part of the title. So I'm wondering if we should add that too, even though it's not talked about. I also wondered in 6.2, I don't see, yet I went through the legislation and it talks about credit unions. Am I missing something there? Should that be? Because our latest investment was through a credit union. And I know it talks about banks, but
I believe it's one of the Schedule 1 or 2 banks.
Okay, that would be fine then. Any further discussion?
Maybe we could get confirmation that it is one of the permitted under Regulation 43897. Just a quick note from the Treasurer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is in the legislation. It says credit union. So if it's in the schedules, that's fine.
Yeah,
we don't have to list it separately. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Unfinished business as of March 17, 2026. List you wish to add or subtract? I noticed in our first budget discussion, and we'll see what happens with our second one that we're setting up, but the first three, there's been no, at least not to council, no movement from those associations to upgrade those unassumed roads. So I assume it won't be part of our budget discussions again this year.
Well, they shouldn't be, because they've had plenty of time to respond.
Right. Okay. Councilor Zulak?
Just on the playground equipment, did you hear back? No.
No, they said it won't be till after April 1st.
Oh, okay.
I noticed, I guess that's where they're funneling the funds through that organization, but there's sure a lot of money coming out of the Northern Interior Heritage Fund for interns, you name it. But I noticed, and since we've expanded into Muskoka too, that always worries me that, I don't know, is it a bottomless pit for that fund? I don't know. And another big funding for Magnetowan Fire Hall? I guess we just missed the boat on
How
that.
How come the fire halls are going to
Erling got it, Magnetowan got it. We didn't, but I don't think it was coming out of that fund at the time. It used to be they had nothing for fire halls, and
no.
You're on your own, and now they're finding funds. So hopefully they find enough for our playground equipment. But a lot of competition by the looks of it. Is this part of the
new
business? Business. Okay.
Just one.
Yeah.
Just one more. Did we hear any more about the 150 banners?
Did anything come from the historical committee meeting?
That Joy Allen was going to go take a look at the banners and provide some suggestions. I don't know if she's been there, but she hadn't been to the last historical committee meeting. I think that's when we looked at the. Maybe it was the February, after the February meeting that we looked at them. Anyways, I haven't heard back. There's an event tomorrow at Erdville Hall, I think. And maybe we can find out something then.
Okay. On to 23.1. Resolution 26-123, moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Zulai. Whereas the Township of McKellar Historical Committee wishes to apply to the Northern Ontario Heritage Fund Corporation, the NOHFC, for funding to hire an intern. And whereas the proposed intern position would support the work of the McKellar Historical Committee and may also assist other township committees and municipal staff as needed. Now therefore be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby direct township staff to apply to the Northern Ontario Heritage Fund Corporation, the NOHFC, for funding to hire an intern position. Discussion? Councilor Keckin?
Previously there was a cutoff date, March 31st, but looking through the information regarding interns and talking to James King, he didn't seem to indicate that there was any cutoff date for applying for an intern, and so the province covered, or the NOHFC covers 90%, the municipality would cover 10%, and just briefly talking to the library CEO, she was going to bring it up at one of the library board meetings because she was all in and felt that that would be a great addition for the programming at the library. I'm not sure if there's other committees as well that would be interested. When Joyce Hopkins was on the recreation, she felt that an intern could help with some of the programming there, so I don't know if the recreation committee want to discuss it at their next meeting.
Sure, yeah, I can bring it up, but I know we've utilized interns in the past, and yeah, they were a lot of help, you know, and a lot of aspects, you know, those extra things you'd like to do, you know, that you can't do yourself as a committee and might be a burden to staff. So yeah, we could probably come up with some sort of a workload.
Okay,
so I'll bring it up.
And then if township staff, I don't know, like in the past we were going to apply for, actually I think we even were approved for an intern, but because there was some instability with staffing at that time, we actually declined the that approval. But now when things are stable with staff, maybe there are things that an intern could help with that staff might be able to use a little bit of extra help, I'm not sure.
Yes, and we were also wondering if there was plans to have staffed hours at the museum if an intern was hired?
So that was sort of one of the main points, is because we don't have enough historical committee members to be able to allocate, you know, their time to the Ellen Watkins Moore Heritage Museum. And the library receives lots of inquiries about the museums on Saturdays. And so the staffing of the museum would be one of the main, one aspect of what the intern would be doing for the historical committee that is not being fulfilled because we're short on historical committee members that actually can do that. So, and I think that would be great that if there's an intern, a younger individual who becomes interested in history, you know, it's particularly McKellar history, that that might be someone that continues on the, you know, the McKellar historical legacy going forward when, you know, the older generations start phasing out. So this is the one thing about the historical committee promoting this, is because with history, you lose things that you can never gain back. And one of the projects that the historical committee wanted to undertake was the elders' stories. So videotape and record, you know, just memories and history that that, you know, people have experienced here in McKellar. And every year we lose that information and never will get it back. So the sooner we can get engaged, you know, and focused on this project, and that would be another one of the major projects of the intern, is to capture that history so that it can be documented, you know, now when there are still, you know, opportunities to obtain that that historical information.
Yeah, no, that's a project, sir. We used an intern years and years back. I think Gerald will remember this. When he was sitting as Reeve, and we had a local girl who had just graduated, and she actually still got the book that she put together, and she also recorded elders' voices and stories. Unfortunately, one of the tapes unraveled. I think it was on cassette tape at the time, so we don't have it in storage, but that was something, a project back then. It's good to keep that going, I think, yeah. The only thing is, with the intern, as you say, and you need some supervision, and that's always, we found the hardest part is finding somebody who can delegate to actually know what the intern is doing at different times, which organization needs it, and that's sometimes the difficult part. So just as long as when the intern arrives, there is some program in place, some supervisor in place who the intern responds to or answers to, so that there's some continuity and all bases are covered, I guess, that everything gets done.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it would be. Each committee would have to basically come up with, I guess not call it an agenda, but yeah, workload of some sort they want to see done, and then it would have to be coordinated by, I guess, member of staff, I'm guessing, would be the next person in line. Just when the person comes into work, okay, this is the project you're going to work on this day or this week kind of thing. So,
so is that something that staff could coordinate, is the scheduling?
Likely, but like Councillor Haskam said, we would need to know what the expectations are for each committee, and then it would be nice to have maybe museum hours that are the same throughout the whole summer. So if it's Saturdays or another day of the week, that would be nice, and then staff can help kind of fill in the times where the intern needs direction.
Yeah, so I think, you know, it will definitely take a little bit of planning and organizing to make it work out so that it's beneficial and that it's a positive experience for the intern. So I think, you know, the first step is that there is some interest. You know, second step, if we put in an application and see how the application process goes, and if we're successful, then definitely it's getting the scheduling figured out ASAP. So
if it gets all put together and successful, what would this, is there an approximate starting date for this person?
So I asked, it depends on when the application goes in.
Right.
Because there wasn't a deadline application, from what I could tell, as previously it was March 31st. And James King said they're approving these interns all the time, and even in the information available from NOHAFC, there was no deadline that I could see now, but 2017 there was a March 31st deadline, so I think things have changed.
Yeah, I guess it wouldn't matter that much because it's a 1 year period would be here for, so that would, so each committee could come up with their year's project. You'd almost want to allow maybe a little bit of in a budget or something, because it's going to bring up more costs, you know, because you're trying to have this buddy do stuff. Well, sometimes it comes with a little bit of a figure, so if we're only paying 10% of the wage, maybe we could consider putting, you know, $5,000 as a, if we get an intern, we have that little slush window of money to help, you know, with the projects and that in case they incur expense.
I think for the historical committee, that sort of worked, like the events. So another project is St. Stephen's, to ensure that we do have programming there this year. We're trying monthly to have something that's going to be some type of event or something monthly at St. Stephen's, just to get, just to ensure that the amazing location that we have gets utilized. And the two events that we had last year were, everyone enjoyed the opportunity to be there, and the opportunities of different events that we could host there is basically limitless, so except for the accommodations, but daylight hours and no running water. So, but anyways, minor details, the two events that we hosted were successful, so there is opportunities for ensuring that we have some programming out there.
Yeah, whoever it is, definitely they'll learn a lot in the way of organizing. You know, you try to utilize them that way to organize. One of them that we had as an intern who may have insight, and I know she was always bugging, oh, please give me more to do, was Mackenzie Taylor from Carling. She was an intern here for a year. and she helped the rec committee a lot at the time, kind of thing. And she, and I know she was starving for work, you know, because you don't want to be sitting around not doing anything. So it's quite a responsibility for the committees to make sure you're bringing it forward. You know, you gotta keep it rolling.
I wonder if, as well, if it would be compatible with the market, helping the market manager organizing out there.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, just I've been interested to see the application form and what responsibilities this person's going to have. I don't know how detailed it is, whether you have to specify what areas they're going to be working in, or do you just say miscellaneous?
Yeah, it's got it. Yeah, so there is a description to what she or he is going to be doing, kind of thing. So you got to fall within those limits.
That's the other question. Who's putting in the application? Who's filling it out?
Well, it says staff. Well, it does. It says staff, and I was wondering, you know, like, is there a lot to that application? Or I guess you can just go look back on an older one.
I don't believe so. Roshan will do it, and he also confirmed that there is no deadline.
Yeah, okay.
I think we could look at if we can find on file previous applications just to see what kind of information was provided in those applications.
And try and have all bases covered.
Right. Well, it sure helps. If
garbage. Dump trips.
Okay, any further discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Any other new business? On to public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members. Committee workshops?
I think so.
Going once, going twice? Okay. On to item 25, resolution 26-124, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. It resolves the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the consent agenda as presented. And we wish to pull from that list, Councillor Kekkonen.
There are a couple of things of note in there. The discontinuation of routine beach sampling.
Yeah.
I think we definitely have to look into what the impact is, and you know, I don't think we're going to be the only municipalities that are concerned about this. That if we did pass a resolution, just let the ministry reconsider. Like, I think it's important to the residents and to the municipality.
Yeah, I mean, it's valid what they were saying in there, because it is a moment in time, and the sign goes up. I noticed it went up down at the government dock, and nobody knew who put it up, because they don't inspect that beach. Usually it's just the one community center. And so it's a question of who's actually going to do it. Is the Lake Environment Committee established enough that they can go and check? Because it is, I mean, they check various areas of the lake, but are they going to check beaches, and do they have the credentials to do that? But there is a time lapse, certainly, and so their reasoning makes sense, that they're just getting right out of it. But I don't know what we do in the meantime. Just use it at your own risk and put that sign up and leave it there all year.
Was this forwarded on to the environmental committee at all? I wonder if it should be.
We have a meeting with the health unit April 1st, I believe, so I'm just waiting for that meeting to happen, and then we'll have more information going forward, and
right.
At that time I can share it with the environmental committee as well.
Yeah, it just sounds like something they might just jump right on.
I think if we could forward to them as sooner than later, because they have a meeting this Thursday at 7 p.m., so that they're aware of it, and do they not test some of our beaches currently?
No.
No, or close to that. Okay, anyways, I think if we forward that information.
Yeah, they may test in the vicinity of, I mean, they're doing that too, E. coli, different testing. But no, not the beaches themselves, I don't think. So.
I think Maplewood Beach, there was something that they had reported on over there.
Yeah,
a few years ago.
Yeah.
A few years ago, than when someone was feeding the geese.
So I think they do actually test that beach. But anyways, I think this would be of interest to them.
Councilor Zulak.
I just think that it's actually like they can test it and it's high, and then like you're saying, and like they're saying in there, within a few hours it's moved on. So I don't see, you know, everybody would be all in a panic and then it's gone. So I don't know.
And there's also the liability risk there too. If the township takes it on and
Then you're responsible.
Committee, then you're responsible if you posted it a certain way and when to take that posting down. And if you don't post anything, I mean, we were cautioned by that by the lawyers in the past too about, I think it was down Lakeshore Road, talking about like most of the docks there, as they go on to, it's on township property, even though they put up private dock signs sort of thing. And we put in to the lawyer, what would we do? Do we caution them or let them know? And they said, no. As soon as you let them know that there's a could be a problem, and he says, then you're responsible. So
it's like if you have a beware of dog sign
right
at the end of your driveway, right? So if somebody comes in and the dog bites them or whatever, then you are responsible. If you don't have any sign there,
you're still responsible.
No, well, it's if you have a sign there, you definitely are responsible.
You know, there could be a potential.
Yeah.
Anything else on that list?
I'm glad to see that Minister of Natural Resources is going to look into the black bear management approach, because we seem to be having a bit of an issue here in McKellar with too many bears. It's becoming quite an issue.
In McKellar?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm sure the population is by far higher than it's ever been. So, and I think on their map it even showed that our area is probably overpopulated, so they'll have to come up with a solution. I know the golf course, like, there's a lot, it's somebody's going to get it sooner or later. There's usually always a mother with cubs, you know, out there running around. And I had a cub playing on my yard this year, you know. And, you know, I know better, but maybe somebody might have a kid that thinks they're going to run out and pet it or something. And
right.
So it's a lot of population, so I'm just glad to see that they're aware of it.
Mr. Kecken?
One other item was the 25.8 and Seaman Township reviewing CCANs and making it a little more flexible with, so just to keep an eye on what their outcomes are, because we have had people mention it now that we're reviewing the official plan and zoning.
I think there were some questions already come in for comments. It's going back now year, 2 years, because municipal affairs holding everything up, but I think actually the planner had incorporated that in storage containers, and he was looking at, I think, at areas not just rural but even waterfront. So I don't know what the final product's going to look like, but that would be consideration. And as he said before, I think the big thing was aesthetics, the what people see, and that's why they didn't want them in waterfront areas necessarily. And I think Councillor Haskin referred to something earlier too, that with some of these lots that are being developed, that's what some people do. I think they just put up a container and they don't go any further with it. So, and neighbors don't like the looks of that. So that'll be up under discussion when we get around to the zoning and the official plan, I guess. As you say, it'd be good to watch Seaman and see what the response is.
Yeah, I think they're just looking at possibly allowing them in rural.
Rural,
I guess, is what they're thinking. So they kind of have a hard approach to begin with, and looks like they're easing up a little, at least in the rural zones. And yeah, it'd be interesting to see what their setbacks may be, and kind of, so, yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on that one.
Okay, if there's nothing else on that list, I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To item 26, questions, comment, period related to items on the agenda from in person or on Zoom. Yes. Laura Ferrer, go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor Moore. Can you hear me okay?
Everything's fine, yes.
Okay, perfect. If I may, I have a few questions or comments regarding item 21.2, investment policy.
Okay, yep.
Was the treasurer involved in the creation of the policy?
Yes, it was created by myself and the treasurer.
Okay, thank you. I guess, is it fair to say that Ontario Regulation 43897, Clause 7.1 was not met by the township as they had made an investment prior to having an investment policy in place? Is that a fair statement?
I would think that investments have been made in the past as well. That was past practice. I'm not sure if there was an actual document in place, but it has been done in the past, yes.
Okay. And if we were not, if we were ahead of the regulation by doing the investment without having a policy, is there an accountability around that? Because it, from my perspective, the policy, or the Ontario Regulation 43897 wasn't followed. So I'm just trying to understand if that's the case, is there an accountability within the township around that?
I think Councillor Zulak, you want to comment?
Well, I was just going to say, well, it's past policy, something new that was brought up, and so it's in, now it is in place. So we go forward, not backwards.
And council was supportive, certainly, and this is what the treasurer had done, what previous treasurers had done as well, and council were supportive of what he had done, and he did many of the things that are actually in the policy. He actually checked around the various townships who were investing in this same company and did all of the checks and balances, and it didn't come back to council at that point, but council since then has indicated that he's done his due diligence. Now we'll just put it in place for future councils and future treasurers, or maybe the same treasurers.
Okay, thank you. When I read through the policy and I looked at several other municipalities' policies, I think McKellar policy that was approved tonight is very general, and maybe that was the intent. Outside of the specifics around any investment over a term of 365 days requiring council's approval, there's really no other specific criteria outside of meeting the regulation for the treasurer to follow. An example from several municipalities that I looked at, they had minimum and maximum percentage targets for investment types. So the treasurer would know you can only invest X percent in this type of investment and Y percent in this one and have minimum maximums. They also had portfolio limitations that say, you know, they don't want more than X percent of investments that are 60 days or 2 years. And they also had discussions around how the treasurer should manage credit and market and value risk. I didn't see any of those in the McKellar policy. And in 3.1.5, it talks about the diversification, which is great, but it doesn't give any specifics on to help the treasurer understand what does that mean from council's perspective.
I would think since it's an inaugural in the sense that we're just putting it into place and the staff put it together, they've looked at, again, past experience, what they've done and what they think would cover the criteria, and a lot of it now is approved by council anyway when it comes back. Some of that's straight out of the act or the regulation, the 364 days, I think it says for some of them instead of 365, but I'm thinking it's something that as we proceed, perhaps could be amended if they see more detail is required. I think as a start though, a general one is probably better rather than regimenting them to certain detail, and I think that could be amended in the future.
Okay, and is there any dollar amount of investment regarding the low risk or the risk profile of that investment that council would want to see in advance of the treasurer making that investment? Because the policy today doesn't give a dollar amount, it just gives a term amount. So the treasurer today could invest $2 million in a 30-day GIC. Would this council have concerns around that aspect of there not being a monetary limit before it has to come to council?
I think the reasons that are in there, one is liquidity. That's a second priority, that and return on investment, but all that, and keeping the principal intact. I think that's enough for the treasurer to realize that if he starts to go down that road, then council would be involved. And I can't see him doing that. There's a good relationship between the treasurer and council. And even if he was concerned, I suppose he would come back to council. So I can't see that happening. You're right, there's always the possibility of having someone in there who's maybe interested in his or her own affairs. But I think in this particular case, we leave it to the professionalism. And he's done well, as far as I know, since he's been in that position. So I don't know whether we want to, as I say, interfere at this particular point. And he hasn't done any of those that we're aware of, any of those investments of which you speak. So I think the liquidity is the key, and we would make sure that we always had enough to discuss our project needs, not just wants, and in when we do the budget discussions, and keep money aside also for emergencies, of course. So I don't think he would tie it up, and certainly council, now that we have this in place, is much more involved in any decisions that he's attempting to make. I don't think he would just go out on his own. Certainly he hasn't in the past, and we haven't seen that from that position. So I think at this point we're covered, and as I say, we can always amend if necessary, or if we see a something coming up. We're getting the regular accounts as well, and when we do the budget, we can see the figures. And we don't want to be doing his job on a daily basis either. That's not council's position.
Thank you. One final, I guess, comment. In the investment report, I listened to the last council meeting, was unable to attend. There was not an inclusion of the cash and cash equivalents, just the investment in the GIC from the credit union. I would ask that council consider requesting the cash and cash equivalents, the money sitting in the checking account, is included in that report, given, from my understanding, from the last reported audit statements, that was $5.9 million of cash equivalents. Now that was December 31st, 2024. Unfortunately, the treasurer does not provide an updated number to council as part of the budgeting process, which I think should happen. But the cash and cash equivalents is in the millions of dollars. So that represents a significant, even if it's sitting in a checking account, that's an investment. And I think should be included in the investor report that is done by the treasurer.
No, certainly we'll be having a budget meeting coming up too, and that could be mentioned at that point as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else online or in person wish to comment on an agenda item? On to 27.1, we have resolution 26-125, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Haskam. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2026-16, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of first and second reading, further give a third reading and pass an open Council the 17th day of March 2026. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Item 28, we have resolution 26-126, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Haskell. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
8:24 p.m.
to meet again on April the 7th, 2026, for a regular meeting of Council or at the call of the Mayor. All the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried.